This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Yeah, what do you need? You need a board game, you need a drone, a hobby plane, an RC car, whatever it is they
a
got.
A wallet
here.
And driver's license.
Well, yes, yeah, so Mike.
I don't know if they have those.
I think, okay. You know, maybe the wallet was stolen, but there's no video evidence of it. That part is still unsolved, right?
That's the thing. Yeah. They have video evidence of the person purchasing products at Target with my card.
Sure stole your money.
If you want something to take your mind off it, you could go upstairs and you could buy one of the kits for the models and you could build a Stormtrooper or a Millennium Falcon.
That's pretty killer.
Or something like that.
You know what else, too, is I called the Dallas Police Department and they're like, no, we don't do this. You need to go online. I filled out all the online information and you know what it said? You need to call the Dallas Police Department.
Yeah.
Like, whoa, which one is it?
It is.
Try a different city.
We don't want to waste our time with this.
I think so.
Try a city who has less going on. Like, call Allen. And call the Allen Police Department. Be like, listen, I know you don't have a whole lot happening. Can you swing down here?
Swing on over, investigate this bat. Well, good luck to you, Mike. And good luck to the Cowboys. We have here what Dak Prescott has in mind as they try to right the ship before the playoffs. He spoke a lot this week, Dak Prescott did, and I saw some of these quotes here in Clarence Hill's story. He says it's when it's times like this, it's lead by example time. Talk is cheap. We've talked a lot. We've talked a bunch and got ourselves right to where we are. In a moment like this, I say hell with the talking, and I'm going to do more. I'm going to work harder, and if you're a young guy looking for somebody to figure it out how to do it, yeah, look at me and some of these other guys, because that's exactly what we're doing, putting our head down, focusing, and doubling down on ourselves. I believe Dak is doing a lot of the right stuff, and I think when he says you look at some of these other guys, it's kind of passively saying, yeah, some of us, there's others who just, you know, they got their head in the clouds or something. I don't know what's going on here. And this is,
but that's,
you know,
up to you, man.
Yeah.
Like, go, if there's somebody who you think is not preparing the right way, make an example of them.
And, well, maybe he is privately.
Right.
You know, I don't think at least we know this organization would not think it's good public leadership
right.
to be calling out players.
Only the owner. He can do that when he chooses.
It's like the public
like
praising
Collier.
And correction in private type
Collier.
Of theory. L.J. Collier, the TCU guy.
What are you saying?
Like,
I'm saying one time, like a couple weeks ago, we couldn't figure out, is he talking about Yeah, which one is he talking about? Because somebody on our team, he's calling Collier right now.
Okay, I see.
Okay, so now more here. We got a little Kellen Moore quote on Dak here, okay? Because the story then goes, might Prescott and the Cowboys be getting too greedy, trying to make big plays, causing him to hold on to the ball? Do you see that, Jeff? Because Kellen Moore said, I think that's fair. Sometimes you have had some success. You want to keep building on that. It may be boring, blah, football, play after play. Let things build that way. From my side, I can help with that process as well.
Yeah, I think we've seen some of that. But I'm of the opinion that if you're going to err on one side of aggressive versus conservative, I'm glad that's the side you're erring on. The goal is to find the perfect balance, not take bad risks, not make bad throws, not throw deep balls that are contested to Tavon Austin every week. That's probably not a winning proposition. But, yeah, I think there's been some of that. Last week I thought we saw some bad throws. We saw some holding on to the ball too long. We just
Worst
didn't see
game of the year.
Yeah, we didn't see a great game from Dak. And I think at the end of the day you're looking at like 355, three scores and a touchdown. But a lot of that was garbage time. I guess it wouldn't be three scores, it would be two, but whatever. Yeah, I think last week wasn't a good game for him, and there's been some of that, and it's probably natural that when you get into year four and all of a sudden it's kind of the Dak Prescott offense and everybody's excited about the show that you're putting on that, I mean, he admitted it in the post game of whichever blowout that was, where he's like,
Got greedy.
I threw a heat check.
Maybe Miami or something.
Yeah, it was double covered deep ball that he threw an interception, and he was like, yeah, it was a heat check. Like, yes, you have to learn to temper that, and I think that's just part of growing.
I thought a few times to Zeke, I think he had 10 targets in the game and 7 catches, if I have Zeke's kind of catches right in the last game. He was late to throw it to him, and I get it. Like, it was kind of an emergency, oh well, and there were a couple times I'm like, look, man, that's the open guy. Like, within 2 seconds, give it to Zeke. They've dropped. Give it to him and allow him space to do something. You know, now I'm hoping that he jukes the guy that once the guy closes, that he can juke the guy and then make a move. And one of the plays, it probably wouldn't have worked anyways, but the late throw that was incomplete to Zeke on fourth down, I believe.
Oh, yeah,
it was,
where he missed him by about six feet.
I mean, he also was a second and a half late with getting the ball there. By the time he got it there, even if it was a good throw, there were two guys that had closed by that point. And so, to me, yes, sometimes it's tough, as Jeff said, because this is what makes you a Hall of Fame quarterback. The Hall of Fame quarterback quickly assesses, quickly gets the ball out, even though it looks like just a 3-yard pass down the field. And, I, you know, like Choppy, for example, makes fun of Tom Brady for it. Tom Brady's doing the right thing. He got the ball out quickly without a great offensive line and gave his receiver the ball on the move without somebody on him so that he can make a play. And I'm not saying Dak never does it. Dak's having a good year. But there were times last week where I'm like, Dak, it's fine to throw the ball to Zeke, but throwing it to him that late isn't going to allow Zeke to do anything once he catches the ball.
Right.
What do you think about Michael Bennett having the big speech after the Thanksgiving game and then Dax here saying, well, you know, speeches have their times, but if you need to be fired up at 6-6, this isn't the locker room for you.
Oh, wow. I would say I am with Michael Bennett. I think I'm with Michael Irvin, too, who earlier on we played the audio that it shouldn't have taken Michael Bennett at 6-6 being here for three games to say, guys, wake up. I've been here for three games and we're sleepwalking through these things.
You know, I felt like at times with Matt Castle and Brandon Weeden, Jason Garrett's turnover-averse nature, the conservative nature, kind of sabotaged them because they needed to turn it loose to give you any chance to win games. And I don't think that's happening with Dak. But I do wonder if that's just the Jason Garrett mentality, well, and we have to now get used to it. Because it's obvious Jason Garrett is very influential on the quarterbacks that play underneath him, at least with Tony until the last 5 years or so.
I'm with you, and I'll just give an example. When I go back to the teams that won for the Cowboys, and I go to 14-16, I won't go way back. I'll just go to 14-16, and Garrett was the coach. Remember those defenses that were flying to the ball? I mean, as soon as somebody caught it, it was just 4-5 guys closing quickly, and they're like, you're going down. Now we see guys jog, like they're probably not going to tackle him. So they just jog. They're just showing fake effort. Like, see, I was jogging. I probably wasn't going to catch him anyways. Championship teams, when you watch Baltimore versus San Francisco the other day,
they all look like Tank chasing the play.
Yes, yeah, they're all – every single player is going hard. Here in Dallas in 2019, watch our defense. You will see if you replay, somebody will make a tackle eventually. And there's four other guys that are in the picture that maybe had a chance to get there that are like, I'm not putting in the effort. I'm not going to work my butt off because there's another play and maybe I'm conserving my energy. I don't know why they're doing it this year, but this year's team compared to 14-16, they're not being that rally to the thing that we heard about the Cowboys and under Marinelli, how everybody gets to the ball quickly and nobody's getting to the ball quickly.
I totally hear you. I mean, those 14-16 teams, they gang tackle. You know, they were coming after you as a group, and they celebrated afterwards in the locker room. Orlando Scandrick, Orlando McClain. I mean, they absolutely love doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So now they don't have that element. But as Jeff talked about last hour, if you just had better special teams and average turnovers, you could be getting away with that plenty and probably be at 8-4 right now.
Maybe.
Yeah. I would think so. There is a really good quote in a piece by Jory Epstein in the USA Today. It's a great story about how his years as the youngest kid in the family, this is more on Dak, and he said it was then that he developed a total hatred for losing. When I lose, that's what pees me off, said Dak in this story here. He says, that's what makes me go. That's what keeps me going. I hate losing more than I like winning. To be honest, a win is like, sure, I was supposed to do that. Prepared my ass off. Why wouldn't I do that? But when I lose, why? It's a battle. How do I get better? Make sure I don't do what I did last week, this week. And that's what we need. That, you know, this might be the first time. We've talked about how they've been asleep at the wheel, but this might be the first time where they're actually acknowledging, at least, they're from the leader, that this losing stuff is horrible and we need to do everything. Earlier in the year, it was like, well, you know, it's the NFL.
Yeah,
it's hard.
It happens. Yeah, we're not going to win them all. I get it. You're not. But it didn't seem like you guys were disappointed with losing either and took it to heart of that's not going to happen. And go back to the movie Rounders. I think most people have seen it. I know it's an older movie, but it is where
Matt Damon tears the Oreo in half to decide if it's a...
Yeah.
If it's
Matt Damon, and it says, you can ask any card player, and I think you can ask most athletes. I think Dak is giving you that perspective of, we don't really remember the wins as much as we remember the losses. And so that's kind of in the movie, too. It's like, ask any card player, and they'll always tell you the losses they had. They'll never kind of tell you maybe the luck of this or that. They'll remember the losses more than the wins. And Dak's giving you that perspective of it. It hurts more to lose than the – because when you win, I'll just say you feel good. But a lot of it, you're like, that's what I was supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
So
that was the plan.
Yeah. So, yes, we did it. I'm excited, but that was what was supposed to happen. And then when you lose, it hurts because you're like, that wasn't supposed to happen. But it doesn't seem like the 2019 Cowboys care to learn from their mistakes.
All right. It is the G-Bag Nation here. We're live at Hobbytown, USA, Mockingbird and 75 up here. We want to see you. We want to get you a Tolo back window decal. We also want to make sure you know that if there's any hobbies or games and you need them for yourself or for Christmas or holiday presents, this is the best place to get them.
This is fun.
What Michael Bennett has to say here midweek, a lot of people are talking, and a lot of the quotes are very, very interesting. In the 5 o'clock hour, we'll have more from Michael Irvin, and we'll have Troy Aikman audio as well. But really interesting with a team in crisis to get the different viewpoints. He says now is the time to be taking a hard look at themselves, and this is more of what you're talking about, Mike. Everybody enjoys winning, but losing makes you look in the mirror more and self-reflect on the things you got to fix. Sometimes when you win, you can overlook things, but when you lose, the eye of the camera finds everything that's wrong.
Yeah.
So I think sometimes you've got to self-reflect, and we're at a moment where we've got to do that and figure out how to put our best foot forward.
What's very tough about professional sports over high school sports, which probably most of our Tolos played in college sports, is you somewhat chose that. You chose to go to that college if you made it that far. In high school, you grew up with a lot of your friends, and this was like, this is kind of your buddies, and you're all playing together on your high school team. In professional sports, you quickly figure out, this is about making enough money for me and my family that maybe this is the only thing I have to do. I get to play for a living, and then the rest of my life, I don't have to work because I did good enough in this sport that I played that I get to live a life of never really having to work a job in my life. I got to play a job in my life. And so you got to figure out how to get, in football's case, which is the most players, I got to figure out how to get 50 or so guys to sacrifice. And yes, we are all trying to get paid. We are all trying to make a living and get a pension and all those things. But can I rally all 50 of these guys to sacrifice everything for a win and then for the ultimate win to be a champ? And that's what Michael Bennett was talking about after the game.
And then you can overcome adversity.
Yes, yeah. And these guys right now, nothing against it. It is what it is. I played on teams like this. They're all trying to get money so that they don't have to work after they play football. Hmm. And they can't seem to come together and sacrifice for each other what you actually need to happen to have a championship team on the highest level.
I think that's why veteran teams have such an advantage in sports and in the NFL in a big way. The oldest teams are winning because you get a bunch of guys that have experienced that. They got paid.
They've already reached their pension.
Yeah, they're like, man, everything is awesome right now.
Let's win.
Let's focus on finishing this career off properly. Okay, Jared Sandler swinging for a cause is fast approaching. Here's an update. KNC has taken over the lead from us.
Oh, well, good for them.
They're at $1,500. Call Lucius if you can, and he'll pick up the phone and take your bid if he's available at 877-881-1053. Because we're at 1,400, KNC is at 1,500. Sean and RJ are at $800 right now. So we feel pretty good to be in second place, but we can't lose to KNC.
And you get three friends, so it's you and three friends, so you get four people.
Yeah, and you'll be hanging out with us. This is coming up December 8th, so this Sunday. And we have a couple of celebrities with us as well.
Darren Oliver and Taylor Hearn, two lefties. And if you want to include me as a really soft-tossing lefty, you can include me.
105throughthefan.com/sandlot is where you can bid on all of the other items, including a golf with Casey Donahue band.
The whole band?
And Jeff.
No, it's just me and him.
Donahue and Kavanaugh.
Yeah, just me and him. We're going to school somebody, yep.
You can golf with J.J. Barea. You can have dinner at Nick and Sam's with Travis Frederick. You can have Nobu and a Mavs or Star game
with the Dutch Oven.
Holy cow. That bid right now is at $1,325. But you wanna saddle up here and support the G-Bag Nation and make us look good, just call us at 877-881-1053. We're coming back. What are we doing next here? Around the NBA and what Mark Cuban wants you to be aware of with his 16-point-per-game, $35 million superstar. That's next here, live from Hobbytown, USA. Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. We're live, Hobbytown, USA here, meeting Tolos at the break, handing out Tolo back window decals. If you need one, just come on by. And I dare you to walk in this place and not think there's something awesome that you might want to buy for yourself for the holidays. They are also giving away a really sweet radio-controlled car. You just need to go to the front desk and enter to win. What Mark Cuban wants to make sure you are aware of with Kristaps Porzingis. I know you might be hating. I've seen social media today. I saw some of the reactions last night as he scored just 7 points in 18 minutes of action. But Cube's had his back. And I want to ask you, what do you think of what Mark Cuban had to say? Segment's brought to you by McShann Flores. It's brought to you by Texas Can Academies, Autoflex Leasing, and by the Frankels. If you're hurting and it's not your fault, call Frankel and Frankel at 214-333-3333 or go online to frankelfirm.com. He says, I think the most unappreciated change about this year has been Kristaps Porzingis. I don't think there's ever been a max-out player like that who has changed his game to fit what's needed for the team as quickly as KP has, literally starting with the Toronto game. So you go back and you look at what was happening right before that Toronto game. They had just played the Knicks twice in a week and lost. Porzingis performed well in those games. I think he combined for 49 points in those games. But was he forcing stuff? That was a big part of the narrative over the first 3 weeks of the season. And you know, I was talking about at that time was like, man, just let the game come to you. You're shooting the three well. You're rebounding better. You're blocking some shots. We don't need to be in a hurry because the team's offense is playing incredible. Porzingis has not talked about his frustration since that, you know, brief moment of time between the two Knicks games in which he talked quite a bit about it. But I think it's really smart of Mark Cuban while his superstar or possible superstar is struggling to give him a strong vote of confidence and reinforce the things that you want to see from him.
Especially when the team is playing well, right? So you don't want to make it like when Porzingis was talking about being disappointed in his own play, but the team was playing well. Like, that's good enough for me.
Yeah.
If you think that what you're doing isn't enough and you're going to be kind of your own harshest critic, then great. I feel pretty good about the way that that's playing out because the team is playing really well and they're only going to get better as you get more comfortable and more, I guess, efficient inside of this offense and we figure out what really works for you. So you'll take the record they got right now for sure and some of the wins that they've had over, what, Denver and the Lakers and Houston and Toronto. If it's still, as Jerry would say, on the come, okay, it's going to be okay.
I would say this on Porzingis, this is what I was holding, is I don't know if this is going to happen, but I do know the Boston Celtics were disappointed with Gordon Hayward, who had to miss a whole season. And just a whole season, that was it. Not almost two seasons, there was a season and a half where Porzingis did not compete at all. He didn't play a game of basketball against any competition. And so his numbers are down. Gordon Hayward, when he came back and played 72 games last year, averaged 11.5 points, 4.5 rebounds, and 3.5 assists. His last year in Utah, he averaged 21.9, 5.4 rebounds, and 3.5 assists. All of a sudden, his numbers went to crap because he hadn't played basketball and was coming back from a major knee injury on a brand new team where he was trying to fit in.
And they had other people to handle the ball a lot.
Yes, and they had other people, like obviously Kyrie Irving and Jason Tatum had broken out in that year that he had hurt his knee. And so I look at it, I guess it was broken leg, but I look at it, and now he got hurt again, but he's averaging 18.9 and 7.1 rebounds. All of a sudden, it took him a whole year of not playing near Gordon Hayward standards in Boston going, my God, we screwed up. We gave this dude a max contract, and he is at best like a good player off of the bench. So as much as, yes, we're 20 games in, and Porzingis hasn't been anywhere close to maybe what he was sold to us by the Dallas Mavericks and what he did last year at the end of the season in practice and then what he did a little bit in preseason, it might not be till next year that we get Porzingis playing good.
And I think that's a great point. We can be patient. We can wait. And it's going to get better. I don't know how much better.
Yeah.
But it is going to get better. But I think Mark Cuban meant it as a positive, and it genuinely is a positive that he's accepted this role. You know, Chris Bosh had to do it. Kevin Love had to do it. James Worthy, Scottie Pippen. You can go through history. Kevin McHale or, you know, guys that were, I could do more.
Yes.
And the fact, now we don't know internally what's in Porzingis' head. But if he's totally comfortable, like, the team's happy, I'm making, like, $9 million a month, and as long as I just don't force anything, they're cool.
What if he thinks in his head, he's like, man, this team would be so much better if I had to rock all the time. That Luka kid.
I'm sure he does have things where he wants the ball more. I think he's kind of, that's where, you know, New York has taken it another direction. There probably is a little bit in there that he's like, hey, I'm not like 100% happy that I am a more of a role player than a number one or number two guy. I will say that right now, the way the team is constructed, and I get the Bosch reference and all that stuff, is we need him to be Dwayne Wade or we need him to be Scottie Pippen. As of today, we don't have anywhere near that guy's talent as Porzingis. We need him to be a second all-star because it's going to be very tough for Porzingis, or sorry, for Luka. If we want him to be in the Jordan, LeBron, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird category, we need him to be where he has another guy with them that is a superstar. And maybe it's not Porzingis. Maybe we have to look in another place throughout the next year or two to find the other all-star on the team. But as of now, I can't have Porzingis feel like this is what I'm going to be for the rest of my career. If that's the case, we'll probably never win a championship. Unless we get
really
a trade where we add Scottie Pippen-like player to the team.
I mean, his defensive impact is nice. His rebounding is nice. I don't know. You do have the number one offense. I think if Porzingis averages 16-9 for the next 5 years, if you trade for a couple of 3-and-D guys that can drain threes and lock down on the outside, I think you could still win a championship with Porzingis at his current mode.
I know I didn't ask for this earlier, but it's kind of leading me to this. Lucius, do we have Charles Barkley on the main problem with the Dallas Mavericks when he considers them a true contender?
Give me because few seconds and I'll pull it up for you, Paul.
I'll kind of talk about it a little bit here because he is saying that this team's going to go nowhere in the playoffs if it is all about Luka, because good teams will be able to slow down that one player. And if you don't have a kind of a second guy to go to.
What if you have a bunch of fifth guys, but they can hit threes?
I'm trying to think in the history of the NBA in recent history, if it's ever worked out that way. And maybe you could go to Dirk Nowitzki's team and say maybe you can do it that way with Jason Terry and Jason Kidd and Chandler and
it
Marion.
It wouldn't be the most talented team to ever win the championship, that's for sure. You know.
So here is Charles Barkley, if you haven't heard it yet, on how he has an issue with the future of the Mavericks if they're going to truly be a championship team.
Well, I have a problem with the Mavs.
You do?
What is it? You have a problem with him?
No, I have a problem with him, but I don't think they use Porzingis enough. I watched him play three times last week. Number one, I think they're becoming too reliant on Doncic.
And people have talked about, hey, let's see what happens when you just take the ball out of his hands, doubles at him.
They just get him the ball and stand around. Now, he's doing a fantastic job, but I would love to see them put Porzingis in the post. Every time they pass the ball to Porzingis, he's standing out on a three-point line. I don't think they're taking advantage of his talent. When they started bringing – Doncic going to do his thing. But when they start bringing Porzingis along, that's when this team going to become legit. Because right now, they're riding her down with Doncic getting a great triple-double. And if he has a bad night like he did against the – I watched him play against the Clippers, and them two boys locked him down. But this dude should not be averaging 17 points a game. He should be averaging 24 or 25 points a game. But they never run plays for him. And also, I like to see Rick Carlisle play him different. Like, when Doncic goes to the bench – every play should be ran for Porzingis. That's my only problem with the Mavs so far.
Yeah, the Clippers are very tough, you know, and they have been locking down teams and holding them well underneath their season averages. The Clippers are tough, and he does make a good point. But what I think the biggest problem would be is try to force making Porzingis better, and then you take your offense out of sync to try to develop him when being patient and saying, man, and then you know what? That's old school from Charles. You know, that to me reminds me of Rasheed Wallace, get on the block. You know, it's like, dude, it's become a three-point game. If you can make it at 38%, it's way better than trying a jump hook with a hand in your face for two.
Shaq kind of went there and like, you can't force a guy down there if he doesn't want to be down there. Yeah. And then they crushed him at halftime because – he got Lonzo Ball in the post a few times in the first half, and Lonzo Ball locked him down or stole the ball from him. Or Brandon Ingram, who's a skinny, I will say non-physical. We have halftime here of them talking about Porzingis, too. So here
I know the way they run the offense, they put him in a position where he can pick and pop. But for this team to get to the next level,
He's going to get in the post, and he's going to be more aggressive.
That's what
I was saying. But I hate to see him. He had these little – man, let me tell you something.
Is any of this a function of coming back from an injury where he hadn't played for a year and a half? You're not going to let any of that – you're not going to let that be a factor at all with him coming back.
Let me tell you something.
I've never been – go ahead, Chuck.
If there is a little guy guard me, abandon, abandon, abandon the play. When they switch a little guy on him, am I right, Kenny?
We would start screaming,
mouse, mouse, mouse. That means a mouse in the house. That means a little guy guarding a big guy. Forget the play. This guy shoots a fadeaway jumper with Lonzo Ball guarding him. He's 7'4". Lonzo Ball's like 6'5", 6'6". Dude, get in the box. And then you see a couple times there, yo, man, I'm open. So, Shaq, you're 100% correct.
You know, Charles Barkley had like a 50-inch butt. You know, it was massive. And Porzingis actually gets more slight. He gets more the center of gravity for a guy like Porzingis. He's a giant. You know, he's not a big guy. He's a giant, and it's a little.
Yeah.
You get down with little guys who have a strong base, and you start to feel like, man, this guy's going to knock me off balance, and I'm going to fall a long way to the ground. I think it's just a function of athletically how awkward Porzingis is. He's not like Dirk. He's not like Yao Ming or Shaq. He is more trending towards the awkward gigantism type of 7-footer frame. You know, and it's not like it's prohibiting from him from being a superstar. He just can't be the kind of superstar that Shaq or Charles Barkley were.
I hear you. One thing that looking at Porzingis right now that needs to improve, he has to be able to shoot over those little. The thing is he looks uncomfortable even shooting over them when they can't even block his shot. He looks almost uncoordinated or physically overmatched, and you're just like.
Yeah.
They can't block your shot. Why can't you just sit there and be like, I'm just going to shoot over you? He only feels comfortable shooting over people when it becomes a big perimeter shot.
Yeah.
Not like from 12 feet away, like, you can't block my shot. I'm just going to turn here and shoot. And then the other thing, too, is we were told his ball handling skills were pretty good. I have not seen ball handling skills at all from him.
No, he's really unrefined.
Really, the ball looks very stealable when Kristaps Porzingis has it.
Well, with those type of big men, you're talking about 29 before it all really starts to come together. Yeah. You know, there's some guys that are giant, but even Anthony Davis took a while, you know, and I think you're going to have to be very, very patient for the skills, but I think there's a mental block as well when he sees the little guys right now. It's like it makes him nervous or something.
And maybe it is injury stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things where I guess I need to keep going back and watching New York before he got hurt.
Yeah.
And seeing the difference between now and then.
There's definite comfortability factor. Mavericks are back home to host the Timberwolves tonight.
They're not bad.
No, they're 10-9. They're 7-2 on the road. So they have been very good on – and pretty much Andrew Wiggins and Karl-Anthony Towns are playing well. It's Wiggins scoring 25 a game and Karl-Anthony Towns doing even better. And that's enough to win games along with, I think it's Jeff Teague at point guard.
Karl-Anthony Towns has turned into – maybe a top 10 player in the NBA. That might be going a little bit too far, but he's having a great year. And then Wiggins is starting to not be a bust.
Yeah.
Where he can really score the ball. And he's talked about he kind of didn't like maybe some of the coaches he was playing for. And maybe he's finally getting along with a coach and feeling like he can do his thing.
I know Jimmy Butler thought he was soft, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes as a young guy, you need to get the veterans out so you can be the oldest guy and be the alpha. You're not going to take the alpha. You need the alpha path to be cleared for you, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe that Canadian blood. I don't know.
Even though the Mavericks – they're a better team than them, and I'll just be interested to see. I haven't seen anything on Twitter yet about Porzingis playing because he barely played. They said he's not going to play any back-to-backs this year, but here we are. He barely played yesterday because of a blowout and foul trouble, so I'd love to see him play 15 to 25 minutes because it becomes very tough when you just have Kleba, or as they called him last night the whole game, Kleber, and Dwight Powell.
Kleba.
As your only big guys, really. And I know you have Boban, too. So.
Okay, we are here at Hobbytown USA. What do you need? They do have a crawler competition coming up December 14th. Jump on Hobbytown USA's Facebook group there, and you can get the details. $10 entry fee. Crawlers, scalers, trailers, tons of prizes. It's going to be epic. Okay, Around the NFL is coming up next here on the G-Bag Nation.
Southwest Kia is home of the all-new Kia Telluride. That is an 8-passenger SUV. Check that thing out at southwestkia.com, yo.
Thank you very much, Lucius. We're live, Hobbytown, USA. Oh, yeah, this is the place to be. What you want one of those rockets? You need the best selection of the Nerf guns? You know, bow and arrows. I see a really cool bow and arrow kit over there for a kid.
Trains are upstairs, too.
All kinds of planes,
trains.
You're a train
guy.
Star Wars, Star Trek. What do you need? If it's hobby or game related, they have it here at Hobbytown USA. It's at Mockingbird and 75, so it's right inside Dallas. And if it's a holiday present or one of these hobby things that you're into, this is the place to get it all. I know I'm doing some serious holiday shopping here, gentlemen. It's time to go around the NFL, though, brought to you by WinStar World Casino and Resort. Here's Kavanaugh with first down.
Hey, everybody. Let's talk about who ruined everything over the weekend. My favorite thing to track, if you can't win the Super Bowl, lose all the games. Tanking. The greatest thing in the history of sports is tanking. And the Cincinnati Bengals, I don't think they started the year tanking, but they did get to 0-11, which is pretty impressive. So at that point, you're feeling like you're in really good shape as a tanking team. You get that number one pick. It sounds like that'll probably be Joe Burrow these days, the LSU quarterback. And so the Bengals, they got to 0-11. They got a little cocky, started feeling themselves, and they threw Andy Dalton back in. What did Andy Dalton do? He went out there and won a flipping game. So now if you're the Bengals, guess what, though? The Cincinnati Bengals right now at 1-11, they're still number one, but there's a tiebreaker involved in the draft, and the tiebreaker is your strength of schedule.
They don't have to worry about the Redskins because they got the Eagles and Cowboys left on their schedule to get W's.
Sir, Bengals, here's the bad news. They've played good teams. So if the Bengals lose again and they go into a tie with the Giants, they don't have the number one pick anymore. And the New York Giants go up to number one, who don't need a quarterback. And now all of a sudden, guess what, Cowboys? The Giants have a number one pick that's for sale. And the Giants get to improve their team because somebody gives up a massive haul to go get a quarterback, whether it's Miami, whether it's Cincinnati. So for the love of everything holy, Zach Taylor, put Ryan Finley back in. Stay the course.
How weird would that be? We won. He's out.
You have to. If you're the GM of that team, you order that coach. Take Dalton back out. You benched him for a reason. You wanted to see the young guy. The young guy can't play. All right. But right now, can't play is perfect for us. You put the veteran back in and he won. If he wins one more flipping game, suddenly we don't have the number one pick. The Bengals. This is your future. I mean, we say it as a joke. If I were a fan of the Bengals and they were like, all right, we were going to look at a young quarterback because our season's gone. He ain't it. Go ahead and put the veteran back in. But you're in exactly the Bengals' spot. I would be screaming to bench Andy Dalton.
There's got
to
be a lot of internal pressure, and I would bet league pressure to not tank. So
I'm sure we're
seeing some teams dabble in it, but then
I'd beg him.
We can't go winless.
I'd go to Dalton, and I would and now you're not winless anymore. I would go to Dalton, and I'd beg him. I'd be like, dude, I'll pay you under the table. I'll give you 1% of this team. Do not win this next game. Do not win us another game. Because, like, obviously, we're all laughing, and it is a joke, right? Because you're not going to pull the guy that you put back in and he won a game and be like, oh, no, and you're not going to. But in real life, as a team builder, as the GM, if you're looking at it and you're like, guys, right now we have our future quarterback square in our sights and we get to pick him. That's reality. If we win another game, we lose him.
Yeah.
We don't want to win that game.
Does it get involved with the agent? Like, man, you got to put my quarterback in there. It's looking real bad, and, you know, you're going to miss out on other players with me. Dalton's going to need a new contract. You need to give him a chance to go out there and play. I think there's a lot of –
I'm sure there is, but I would hold strong.
I'd be with you, man. I am a championship-first type of sports fan, and I would be that way as an executive.
And people think we're losers, but we're just here trying to build a championship. Like, the alternative is – like, okay, you go to the second pick, and the Giants get the number one overall pick. Well, the Giants don't need a quarterback, so they're going to trade that pick. And somebody's going to come get a quarterback, and you're going to be stuck at number two. Or we're just going to have to turn around and trade a haul to move up one spot to not let somebody else go up one spot because we played our better player and won a game down the stretch. So the Bengals, they are still number one in the draft order at 1-11, but the Giants are 2-10, Washington 3-9, Dolphins 3-9. Bengals, by the way, I pulled up their schedule. The bad news is, like, they'll play the Browns on the road this week. They should lose. Then they'll play the Patriots. They should lose. You need to fake a Dalton injury for the Dolphin game because they do play the Dolphins the second to last game of the year on the road. And you got to lose that game, guys. You got to lose it. You're screwing up the tank. You're just ruining the whole thing. And right now the Cowboys, by the way, would be at number 21. as the worst team to be in the playoffs. 21 is where you would end up.
Very good. It is the G-Bag Nations around the NFL here. We're live at Hobbytown. Here's Mike Bassick with second down.
At 21, Dane Brugler says the Cowboys select Sean Wade, cornerback, Ohio State.
Oh, they're second. They've got a good secondary. Ohio State's got a really good team. Like Broadus and Hellman are scared of Ohio. Really? Yes, they do. Broadus and Hellman are scared to play Ohio State because I bet you if you scroll into the top 10 of that draft there, you'll find Ohio State's other corner, who I believe Lucius is familiar with where he played at, Jeff Okuda.
Yeah. Okuda.
Yeah.
Okuda.
Yes.
Okuda. He's number 8 overall to the Jacksonville Jaguars. So
got
let me
the
give
right
you
stuff.
Dane Brugler's first mock draft of the year, brought to you by The Athletic. It is the Bengals taking Burrow. You mentioned that earlier that he would probably be number 1. That's who Dane has as of right now. Chase Young, 2 to the Giants. Redskins, 3. So right now the Redskins still have the 3rd pick, even though they're going to get hot against
they're
us.
They're not going to get hot, and they're not good. You need to stop spreading
picking,
this nonsense.
They might be picking 21 and win this division.
Stop that.
Jedrick Wills, offensive tackle, Alabama. And then number 4, Miami takes Tua T. Tua T only goes from number 1 to number 4 with the major injury. I'm going to bring this up again. I would be very concerned that he wasn't there and they put up 46 points against Auburn at Auburn. It goes to show, is it Tua T or is it just all the players on offense they have that makes an Alabama quarterback look good?
I think that's always an interesting part of the debate. And unfortunately, I'll start working on that stuff this week, which means that I'll spend way too many hours on the couch. But like, I do think in watching Tua, that I do believe he's going to be a successful NFL quarterback, but I totally understand the idea that, great offensive line. And they literally, they don't have the, at first we thought coming into the year, Jerry Jeudy, great wide receiver at Bama. And then it was like, Henry Ruggs, great wide receiver at Alabama, might break John Ross's combine record in the 40. And then it was, Devontae Smith is the one making all the plays. And then last week it was Waddle, who's a freshman. And they're like, he's a future first-round pick. And it's like, holy cow.
Dang.
He's thrown to maybe 4 top 50 picks
in
the same team?
The third overall pick is offensive tackle from Alabama. So, I mean, one of his offensive tackles is considered a top 5 pick right now. Derrick Brown of Auburn is considered the 5th overall pick right now.
That's
the Cowboys,
my guy.
From what we hear early on, their scouts have put him as a 3rd to 6th rounder.
Stop it. You're saying that because he's 330 pounds and he's a one technique,
he's
but he's also a good pass rusher. He's a monster.
He's a non-difference maker.
He's a monster.
You might as well just cut if he's on your team from the Dallas Cowboys perspective.
Too heavy to get upfield.
I'll go 6-10 right now and give up this division and this postseason. Season run for Derrick Brown. Let's go.
Well, you know the Cowboys won't. As in, they wouldn't take him if he dropped to 21. The Cowboys would have him off the board.
You have to learn lessons. We just have to bank on them eventually learning a lesson.
Justin Herbert, by the way, goes number 10 overall to the Chargers. So just to give you an idea of the new mock draft from Dane Brugler.
I feel like with quarterbacks, I would not be that obsessed with having a top pick with them right now. Because
depending on who it is. If you told me it was a Trevor Lawrence draft, I'm obsessed.
Maybe you're a little different there.
I'm obsessed.
But even the Andrew Luck. You know, you had 2, Andrew Luck and RG3. Where are they? You know, I just think there's so much mystery to what they're really going to bring to the table, how healthy they stay, and all sorts of X factors that would suggest, hey, maybe we can get our guy at 8 or 12, or when was Lamar taken? 32?
32. Yeah.
You know?
Now, that will never happen again. I don't think, but who knows?
Yeah.
I wouldn't think that if a guy has a good enough arm and he was that dynamic, that teams would be like, I don't know if he can play quarterback. I don't think they'll make that mistake again, but I also don't know if we'll ever see Lamar Jackson again.
Bad news for the Vikings is Adam Thielen's hamstrings seem to be regressing. That's weird.
He's
resting
smaller up
and they're getting worse. Yeah, Vikings wide receiver Adam Thielen was participating in practice and possibly on track to play Monday. Then on Sunday, he abruptly was ruled out. On today, the Vikings said that Thielen wouldn't have practiced at all if they'd had more than a walkthrough. So an aggravation of the hammy appears to be the case for Thielen, as it's a disaster for the Vikings. They're trying to lock in that wild card spot sitting at 8-4. Okay. When we come back, G-Bag, we have 2 hours to go as we're live from Hobbytown, USA. Why are we going to be depending on Jason Garrett to do late in tomorrow night's game? It's next on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.